There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
For a State of the Union address and the reaction to that. That'll happen on Tuesday. Did the Patriots deflate the footballs in their AFC Championship game? That was a wild rumor, and the NFL actually investigated it. Sad story of a overpass just collapsing, one dead and one injured. This happened a short while ago. You know, this goes to that infrastructure thing, and I'd be curious to know more about this once they discover that. But how many overpasses are there in this country that need to be reinforced? It's like bridges, you know, some of the things that we've seen that have happened on bridges. But this is just unfolding now as I speak. Bobby Jindal raised a lot of antenna up when he very openly discussed the way he felt about what happened in Paris, the way he felt about terrorism, specifically saying, look, Islamic terrorism, and addressing things that people are sometimes fearful to even touch and won't go there. He has no trepidation stepping right into the middle of it. I wanted you to hear a little bit of what Jindal had to say about terrorism.
Call out and denounce these murders, these terrorists. Decrying violence isn't enough. We must make clear, Muslim leaders must make clear, these individuals are not going to enjoy the afterlife, they're not going to be martyrs, but rather they're going to hell. We need to understand the challenge we face in radical Islam. In many ways, you're looking at folks that want to come in some ways, overturn our culture. They want to come in and almost colonize our countries. I think we've got to stop those people from coming into our country. But unfortunately, today, the politically correct view is to say that any view, anybody that says that is viewed as being culturally arrogant, as being insensitive, and having a colonial perspective. I think that's wrong.
All right, I agree with him. And, you know, we've talked about that in a previous show, that he's specifically just saying, listen at what's happening and look what's happening here and murdering people and ultimately what's going on. There is a debate over a movie that has made over $100 million, and it's called American Sniper. I saw the movie, and we're having the author of the book who helped Chris Kyle write it, Jim DeFelice, on the show tomorrow. And the timing couldn't be more interesting because you had Michael Moore who came out and said snipers like Chris Kyle are cowards. He said that, you know, talking about this drama and how much money that it's made at the box office, he said that, you know, his uncle was killed by a sniper in World War II. We were taught snipers were cowards. We shoot, you know, will you shoot in the back? Snipers aren't heroes. And invaders are worse. That's what he tweeted out on Sunday. And I said to myself, he has to be kidding. I mean, here's the thing. If you pay attention to what went on in Chris Kyle's life and the fact that he saved so many Marines, and ultimately that's warfare because there were snipers on the other side trying to pick off our guys. So we have snipers. They have snipers. If they did not have Chris Kyle watching them in some of these terrible situations in Fallujah, for example, there would have been a lot of dead Marines. He was one of the best of all time. One of the best of all time. Even the actor Rob Lowe saw Michael Moore's comments and said, he's kidding, right? He's kidding. Now, I get the personal connection. He had an uncle killed by a sniper, so when he's a little boy, he's hearing all of that. But to come out and kick that back at Chris Kyle, wow. I mean, this is a guy who served four tours in Iraq. He's called the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history. And I bet there are a lot of grateful families for Chris Kyle's work in America because of the people that he ultimately protected. So, you listen, this American Sniper movie has struck a nerve with a lot of people. Clint Eastwood directed this movie, and I mentioned this, Bradley Cooper stars in the movie. Bradley Cooper said he met Chris Kyle, and Chris Kyle told him he was too pretty to play him and that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is this. You ask people to serve and sign up. He has no relationship to the military whatsoever. He sees what happens on 9/11 and decides, I'm jumping in. I'm going to do this. I don't care. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And he jumps into the military, and he is a great shot and becomes a stellar sniper and finds the way that he can contribute. And he contributed in a very, very big way. I mean, if anything, to criticize Sniper, wow, I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it. Even Seth Rogen, when he put down, his bud for a second, he said, American Sniper kind of reminds me of the movies that's showing in the third act of Inglourious Basterds, meaning talking about that Brad Pitt movie, war movie. So how about that, And there's just no question to me that Chris Kyle, if people you want to criticize, this would just be one. I mean, this would just be one guy. Why would you criticize this guy? And then, of course, what does he do when he comes home? He doesn't have to do this. There's people that want him to come and speak, and he could have made plenty of money doing X, Y, Z. But he wants to help veterans who are lost and who are struggling to get back into society. So he goes to shooting ranges with them, starts a program, and tries to help them that way. And unfortunately, one that is definitely not right kills them. So he is killed trying to help other veterans. I was, like I said, stunned to hear that. But anyway, Jim DeFelice will join our show tomorrow to talk about Chris Kyle and the phenomenon of American Sniper. Coming up this hour, Roger Fleming. We talk a little Washington with Roger Fleming. He's written a book called Majority Rules, but he was on the Hill for a very long time. And he says the thing that we all seem to come back to, that there's still never this cooperative, there are not enough cooperative moments between the Democrats and the Republicans. And if you want to look at what the problem constantly is in Washington, this is one of the very core things that continues to be wrong. I've said before that I really think part of it is that, there's not a lot of time in taking with the votes, etc., the reading times, and they've changed some of that. But where you have people that come into town on a Tuesday and they jet out on a Thursday and nobody stays in Washington. So how are they having a relationship and trying to work together and have a dialogue and make some things happen that I easily think could have bipartisan support? Not everything is that polarizing. There are definitely some things that could be moved, that the needle could move in D.C., but there is this refusal to do that. So Roger Fleming joins us to talk about that. Steve Kelly also this hour coming up with some financial advice. Since we're in a new year, it's a whole new start for some people, or looking ahead as to what you can do, how you can squirrel away a few nuts for when you need them on a rainy day. He's got some stellar advice, and he's the free money guy, and that's coming up at the tail end of the hour. So stay here, kick back, and we'll see you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Terrific. Last time he joined us, we've got Roger Fleming in our virtual green room. He's the author of a novel called Majority Rules, and he's got quite a background. It would take me a half an hour to go through the entire thing, but let's just say he's a veteran of Capitol Hill. He certainly knows his way around the Carters, let's put it that way. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Good. It's good to be back with you.
So I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things happening. The new Congress is in. Before we dive even deeper into it, we got the State of the Union coming up. What would you say early going we're seeing from the Republicans in Congress with the new leadership?
Well, I think you have to be a little bit optimistic. The Republicans, you know, they've only had about 8 days in session so far, or seven, and they've passed some legislation already. They got right to work. They passed the DHS appropriations bill separately in the House, which through the amendment process there attempts to roll back several of President Obama's executive orders or aspects of his executive order on immigration. And they've passed out a pipeline bill, and they're going to do a pipeline bill, a Keystone pipeline bill in the Senate, I think, next week. So, they're moving. They're working on it.
So they're delivering, or they're trying to deliver what they said they would, especially some of them who are new to the game and were running on those issues.
Right.
Yeah, you could tell that. You know, the Keystone Pipeline is kind of interesting because the Keystone Pipeline initially, if you go back, and this has been years, initially it was signed off on, really, and there was already environmental studies done, and then all of a sudden there were protests, and all of a sudden it was like, no, we've got to do more studies, and it's shut down. Is that because, and maybe this is a simplistic question, it seems to me, it's because the president, in part, was elected by environmentalists and promised them certain things, so when all of a sudden they got hot and bothered about the pipeline, then that became a no way, we're not doing it.
Well, I think it's pretty clear he got a lot of pressure from those interest groups, and you know, so they threw it back into the study cycle or in the State Department where it's been for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the game in Washington. If you can't, if you don't want to do something, create a committee to study it or put it, you know, create, put a group together to study it, and you just buy time.
Yeah. You know, we've got Mitch McConnell in the Senate. Of course, he's the new leadership there. Do you, how do you feel about McConnell and having the immigration issue, like we're just talking about the executive actions, having that portion of it in his hands?
Well, one thing I'm very hopeful about, I think Senator McConnell has indicated he's going to go back to regular order in the Senate, which will be good for the institution and good for everybody in the Senate. So they'll have an opportunity to actually look at bills at the subcommittee level, have hearings, mark it up, have amendments, go to full committee, have more amendments in debate, and then go to the floor on each separate spending bill on appropriations. That way, you know, you could have looked more deeper at the DHS bill last year instead of these omnibus bills or continuing resolutions. So I think that's going to be good for everybody. On immigration, you know, he's indicated he's willing to take up the House bill. I think that's what I saw in the last part of last week. And but he's realistic about the votes. You know, you need 60 votes in the Senate to get past the filibuster. The House bill is a tough bill. It's well thought out. It's well written. And if they bring it up there, it probably doesn't have 60 votes, but I would, you know, I would hope that they would try to work with some of their Democrat counterparts in the Senate to amend the bill to get some of their support. Certainly a year and a half ago when the Democrats passed their comprehensive immigration bill, they got seven Republicans to go along with them, and they did that through some negotiations. So I'm hopeful Republicans will at least take a stab at that.
Yeah. Do you think people, sometimes, you know, the news that comes out of Washington, it's so hosed down and filtered and everything else. Do you think people realize, and I've broken this down on my show, and I've been with the Border Patrol a couple of times and yada yada. Do you think they realize what the cost of amnesty would actually be to themselves, what it would cost to states, which we don't even have a full figure, but you know it's going to be billions?
Do the American people know?
Yeah,
that?
I don't think they do.
No. There's no way. I mean, people in the border states obviously have an idea because they see it, and they see it happening. People coming across the border all day long, and they see the cost to the state and local government. For the first time, I guess some interior states are seeing some of that cost because the president sent some of these children that came across last summer into interior states and cities, and they're having to hire special teachers to. You know, with language, to help with language barriers and so forth. So they're beginning to see a snapshot of that. But no, I don't think they have a clue. I think for the first time this past summer, they saw the kids coming across the border because the media went down there and for the first time in 30 years actually filmed people coming across the border, although it happens every day. They just showed it for about a week there, and the American public got to see a brief snapshot of that, and I think it has raised a level of education of people as to what's going on down there. But I don't think they could have a realistic perspective on the cost.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about several huge issues. If you boil it down to the biggest concern that you have and you think that Americans should really pay attention to, what is it?
You know, I mean, with regard to I wrote the book Majority Rules about this whole majority-minority mindset. They got to figure out a way in Congress for both parties to work together to take the best of both parties and move forward and try to actually address some of these problems. On immigration, that would be, okay, Republicans want to secure the border, Democrats want some pathway to citizenship or amnesty, then come together and put it together and send it to the president. They got to work together. They can't keep, you know, staking out these flanks and not being willing to come to the middle.
Yeah, and it seems like that's all we keep seeing again and again and again. And as I mentioned at the top, you knew your way around Congress. And did you see that as much when you were there? There was more cooperation, wasn't there, or at least some of it?
No, you know, that always kind of drives me crazy because there was, in my opinion, I was there as a young lawyer in the mid-'80s, a Republican counsel to a congressman from Florida, then on the Judiciary Committee. It was just as partisan then, but you didn't see as much of it, one, because in the House, the Democrats had a 70-seat majority, and they hadn't been in power for 30, 40 years before the Republicans took over. So there really wasn't. It wasn't very newsworthy for the media to talk about partisanship and the different amendments offered by the minority when Republicans took over the House in 94. And then in 95, when Gingrich became Speaker, all of a sudden it became newsworthy to talk about, you know, how the minority was being oppressed by the majority and how partisan things were. I think it was just as partisan back then. It's always been that way. It just hasn't been quite as attractive to the news media.
You know, kicking off this conversation, you mentioned how, hey, 8 days into this, they're getting some things done. Isn't it terrific? Da-da-da. But certainly that has to carry through. If you think of 2016, a lot at stake there, and you have so many people that are sort of declaring because they're looking at PACs, et cetera, realizing, you know, what the limited dollars are and where they're going with this. Is it good for the Republicans to have that buzz with different people excited and wanting to run?
You know, I think an open process has got to be what they have. I mean, that's the American way. I don't think it's smart to get lined up with, I think it's 9 debates they're talking about now.
Yes.
For the Republican Party. I saw that last time around, and it seemed like the media just had way too much fun, you know, nitpicking and tearing them apart. I'd rather see a fewer number of the most viable candidates. I'd rather see fewer debates and debates where real questions will be asked about real issues, not questions designed to embarrass Republican candidates. So that worries me a bit.
Yeah. Mitt Romney, smart for him to jump back in, or should he say no? 2 times, the third time isn't the charm.
You know, I think most people think he would be a good president. He'd be a great chief executive officer of the country. But I think people are worried about whether he can get elected. You know, it's not about his qualifications to be a good president. They saw what happened last time. And, you know, I know sometimes people cringe when he would give an answer because he just, you know, I'm not sure he realized how bitter his opposition was and how personal it is on the other side. And I just think people are worried about whether he can win.
Yeah, and of course we all are assuming this, we don't know it, but probably the opposition is going to be Hillary Clinton, and I'm not sure who's on the undercard, but most likely Clinton. Is she beatable?
You know, when I talk to a lot of Democrats, actually, and Democrat women even, seems to be a lot of them who aren't that thrilled with Hillary Clinton, and they weren't thrilled last time she ran. So I think there's some overconfidence in that camp on the likelihood of how much of the women vote and the Democrat women vote she's going to get. I think she's beatable.
She's beatable. And if she does run, you know, then there's that pressure. I heard a ridiculous conversation the other day about, well, then that means that the Republicans have to go with a woman, which is silly when you're playing to what others are doing. You could certainly have, there's viable candidates for VP. You could certainly have a female VP, or if there was the right woman. But I think the Republicans, to me, need to focus on what they need to do and not worry as much and look in the rearview mirror. What do you think?
Well, you know, if you look at the electorate, and, you know, over the years I've been here, sometimes I look out and I can't tell how it's getting more educated or less educated. On one side, it's like just becoming more in tune with what's going on and more educated. On the other side, it seems like culturally it's more shallow, but so from that perspective, I think it probably doesn't hurt to have a symbolic candidate on there as well as, find a candidate. There's plenty of women out there. It'd be great, presidential and vice presidential candidates. You just got to pick the one that, you know, fits with the times and fits with the candidate who's running for president. I think it probably help if Hillary turns out to be the Democratic candidate.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, always great to talk to you. Roger Fleming, pick up his book, Majority Rule. Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrant, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Coming up, we're going to hit the mailbag here on America Tonight. You know, 24/7, you can always hook up with us at americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, just like that you are in. It doesn't matter, whatever time, and we'll get to it for sure. We've had a lot of people that have had some things to say lately about what's going to happen with the Department of Homeland Security, what's going to happen with immigration, what's going to happen with Cuba. It's interesting. It's kind of a mixed bag. So I guess whatever's hot in the news and whatever, you know, whatever's being talked about a lot, that seems to generate people's wheels turning, and especially if there's snarky comments, and then usually I'll get a ton of email, and we always get so many emails. I'm just frankly blown away at the amount of emails that we get. All right, so on that note, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Doug, who says, Kate, I don't know if you heard about that overpass that went down in Cincinnati or not, but it was pretty ugly looking. I guess it was lucky that there weren't very many people around at the time. I mentioned it on the air. There was a construction worker, I guess, that was killed. And this happened at 10:30 on Monday. They don't know what led to the collapse of it. The construction worker wasn't identified, and part of the bridge has collapsed, and it was an off-ramp. It was undergoing demolition. So I think they were doing something with it, and unfortunately, it was an industrial accident, something like that. Something went wrong, and the crews are trying to figure out, you know, first of all, they got to remove the worker, but they're figuring out what happened. They're calling it just, you know, a major collapse, and it's southbound I-75. They say it could be closed in that area for sure, probably for maybe 2 days. They're telling people in Cincinnati, don't be surprised by this. Be ready to, you know, look for alternate routes, because this is what's happening here. Let's move to this one. This one, Jake from Austin emails us all the time, and Jake says, Kate, I can't stand the Patriots. Who cares about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Pats going to the Super Bowl again? I could care less about the Patriots. I'm sure there's some people listening to you that are Patriot fans, but sorry, folks, I just don't care. And, of course, did you hear this thing about the deflated footballs? What do you make of that? Yeah, the deflated footballs, somebody asked Brady about that, and he said, oh, I've heard everything now. I mean, you have got to be kidding me. You know, you've got to be kidding me. There's no deflated balls. But the Pats are saying, listen, we'll cooperate with the NFL. If you want to do an investigation of the balls, and if you think they were deflated, that's fine. What a compelling storyline, huh? So, what do you think? There was the air pressure gauges, and there was Bill Belichick in the back trying to mess with the balls. So, because the NFL, it's that really is something. You have to pay attention to how full it is. They have a rule that talks about that. And they inspect the 12 footballs that each team has to provide before the game. So you would think if there was something that wasn't right, they would notice it. They would pick it up. So somehow the whole thing about deflated footballs got out there and got some buzz, and the NFL said that they're going to look into it. And I told you what Tom Brady said. He said that's like the most ridiculous thing of everything. Of all the things I've ever heard, it's the most ridiculous one of all. And I guess it's going to be one of the storylines for the Super Bowl, because now we're, 12 days away from the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks taking on the New England Patriots. Okay, this one from John, who says, Kate, this is the first time I've emailed the show. I've thought about it. I've just been too darn busy. Usually I download your show. I really like it. You have some pretty cool things going on. I don't know how else to say that. I feel informed anyway when I take a listen to your show. So, you know, here's my question. When are we going to do away with the Islamic State? I mean, we keep hearing things about, they're more threatening than menacing, and some of the things that I've heard about the Islamic State, not to be as concerned about them as some people are. And then I read that there's a video now that's out that ISIS is threatening to kill two Japanese hostages, and apparently they'll stop at nothing. I mean, who knows who's next? Frankly, I don't think people really are safe with ISIS. I think the more ISIS guys that are gone, the better off we are, especially with so many people being recruited by them. Well, yeah, I would have to agree with you. The biggest thing that they have going is they somehow, the disillusioned, the downtrodden, the I hate America, or I hate England, or I hate wherever I'm from, or I hate what you've done to Muslims, or whatever it is that trips them into that psychotic behavior, thinking, I'm just going to go and I'm going to train and I'm going to be one of the ISIS guys, and if I have to be in the video, I'll be in the video, and I'll be a part of this group. No, I don't think you could take them lightly. I don't think you can take anyone lightly who cuts people's heads off and proudly displays what they're doing in a video, brags about it, and then says how they're going to come and destroy you and destroy your ways. I mean, they're murderous thugs. That's absolutely, it's a crazy cult. So, yeah, you have to take that seriously. You know, speaking of taking terroristic things seriously, there were some bomb threats at JFK, and apparently it's all okay, but they went on a plane at JFK and, you know, immediately tried to hustle people off because they thought there was a bomb, and I don't know if it was a called-in thing because there was threats about it or what it was, but it really shook them up because it was, like, chaotic at the airport, and JFK is one of our bigger airports, certainly internationally anyway, so they were all over that plane from top to bottom because somehow there was a big warning about a bomb threat. You know, the things that you hear at these airports, too. How secure are we? How much more secure are we than in the past? Yeah, I would say that our intelligence guys are doing an incredible job. I would. But airport-wise, I think we've dodged a few near misses, without a doubt. Here's one from Baker. That's a new one. Hi, new listener, Sarasota. I think other people have written in from Sarasota. Yep, I jumped on the bandwagon. American Sniper, I am a liberal Democrat. I still like your show, and I liked American Sniper. Listen, I don't understand why there's controversy over Chris Kyle, who was helping a veteran when he was killed by the veteran, and who was fighting to protect American lives. Sniper is a position in the military that was necessary, especially when you think of some of the places in the four tours that he did where Kyle was, not to mention that the insurgents had their own snipers and they were using our people as targets, and many, many Marines died because of that. Think of the IEDs that were planted and think of the people that were just killed by snipers in general. So how has this become a left-right tug of war? It makes no sense to me. So I'm going to agree with you, Kate. I've heard you talk about it a couple of times, and I can't wait for your interview with Jim. Yeah, Jim DeFelice is coming on our next show. He's one of the writers of American Sniper. He helped Chris Kyle put it together. And it's interesting because Kyle said, you know, especially a Navy SEAL, How many of these books have to be so many pages, redacted and all that stuff? And he says in the very beginning of the book that, the things that happen in this book are true and they're recounted from the best of my memory, and the Department of Defense, including high-ranking USN personnel, reviewed the text for accuracy and sensitive material. They cleared the book. It doesn't mean they like everything they read, but it's my story, not theirs. So I can't wait to talk to him. Okay, here's another one from Joseph, listening to us in Illinois. Hello, Joseph in Illinois. And Joseph says, State of the Union. It always seems to me like the State of the Union is just more of a show for whoever the president is. I don't care if they're a Republican. I don't care if they're a Democrat. They come at it with puffing stuff of things that could happen and things that did happen. And I don't know, maybe it's necessary in one way. It's a way to shake hands with everybody in Congress, do a little song and dance. But I don't think much of, if anything, comes out of the State of the Union unless we're in the middle of some very, very big crisis. Well, the problem is, aren't we always in the middle of some very, very big crisis? You know, one thing we know is that raising taxes is going to be on the menu, and talking about how raising taxes for capital gains for a certain wealthy percentage of the country and a couple of other things. And he was traveling around and is going to travel around after his speech to talk about the agenda, I guess, that he's going to lay out. He's going to go to Idaho and Kansas, the president will, after the speech. All right, remember, you can always send me an email, americatonight.net. See Kelly up next here on ATN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
Waiting for this, because last week we talked about six big mistakes people make, and they were unbelievable, the impact thinking about long-term care, elder care, who that falls on, that kind of stuff, market risk, all the things people, I guess, sort of think about, but push off into the corners of their mind. So, Steve, I thought it'd be great, as we crank this up, to talk about why avoid it. What is the scoop on avoiding it?
Well, if you'll recall our conversation last week, number six was the failing to plan. And there's some really remarkable statistics on this, Kate. The first one being, first of all, according to a recent survey, 81% of Americans, 81% are worried that they won't have enough money for retirement. Okay?
Yeah.
Think about that. So you know, we're not making this up in terms of the magnitude of the problem. Over 80% of the people out there are concerned they won't have enough money for retirement. Now, 40% of the people 45 to 54, guess where they get their financial advice? From friends and family.
Of course, the worst.
Okay? You know, as if that's going to provide the type of financial advice that they need. So this becomes a huge problem. So there's a Harvard Business Review study by a man by the name of Robert C. Merton. And Merton is a Nobel Prize winning economist. He got his Nobel Prize from working with derivatives. And so he's a real Wall Street guy, all right? You know, just he's born and bred Wall Street. And this new Harvard Business Review article study was really eye-opening because Merton's starting to come around to the way we think. And here's a quote from that. "More dangerous yet is the shift in focus away from retirement income to return on investment that has come with the introduction of saver-managed defined contribution plans. Investment decisions are now focused on the value of the funds, the returns on the investment they deliver, and how volatile those returns are. Yet the primary concern of the saver remains what it always has been. Will I have sufficient income in retirement to live comfortably?" So this is the issue. The issue is we have been taught as baby boomers to focus not on the income that's going to come from our plan or our nest egg, but we have been taught to focus on the growth of that nest egg. And we know from experience now, we've had a few years under our belt with these 401ks and with people retiring with them, that focus is a very inefficient focus in terms of making these things work. Even if you have $1 million saved up, if you're doing market-based planning, that $1 million will yield only around $25,000 to $30,000 a year in income for you for the rest of your life. And this is because of what we were talking about last week with the low bond yields and the high market risk. Both of those work against you. So what we need to do is we need to really get in and do some significant planning. And people are really averse to this. People really have a hard time going to a financial planner, revealing their really most intimate details, because if a planner's doing the job right, he's not just talking about your money.
Yeah.
He's talking about your life and your goals and your dreams and things like this. This is a very intimate conversation.
Yep.
And you know, Kate, we get it. We get that this is really, really hard. And then there's another issue here, and that is if you think about game theory and you think about, you know, balance of power, it's really easy to go into a financial planner and feel like you're in a one-down position. Do you know what I mean by that?
Versus
one-up?
Yep.
So it's easy to feel like you're going in and you're not on an even playing field with this guy who is just waiting there to take your money from you and, you know, take advantage of you. So, you know, we get it. This is really hard, but it's really, really necessary. And people really have to understand that the forces and the odds that are stacked against them during the next 15, 20, 30 years, they're not intuitive. They are highly technical.
Oops. That's all right.
And they're just, you know, they're problematic for people. So I really encourage people, find a good planner, sit down with him, have long, good conversations, not just about your money, but your goals and dreams and your aspirations, the things that you're concerned about, those are the things that you really need to cover with these guys. And if you can find a good one, they will take all that into consideration and provide a plan that works for you and will give you a more abundant retirement.
Do you think it's that people are, you know, people have such a hard time, and it's what you say about the one-up, it's just being judged. I think people don't want to be judged like, wow, you screwed up. You mean you didn't save that much money? You mean you didn't put this money here? How come you didn't do that? I think that's part of it, which is crazy, because the reason you're going to somebody, and hopefully somebody good, is to help you get that all together and to look at your goals and to be realistic and all that kind of stuff.
I agree with you completely, and I think it's as much about judging yourself as it is by being judged with another person. People have to remember, we are not in this day and age just solely a product of our own ability or lack of ability to save. We have had huge paradigm shifts happen to us. When we started life working, we as boomers, 60% of people, working people, had pensions. Today, fewer than 10% of working people have pensions. When we started working life, fewer than, I think, 10 million people owned stock. And today, over 100 million people own stocks, and that's because of 401ks. And along with that shift of, and this goes to this thing I just read by Merton, along with that shift from defined contributions plans where you had a manager managing your future, someone who knew what they were doing, and then you were pooling your longevity risk with a whole lot of other people in a pension, now you're totally on your own. You've had no help in growing your money in a market, and you've had to take all of this risk yourself. And then on top of that, you may be dealing with aging parents and putting kids through school and just trying to stay up with life. It's not something people should feel that they should be judged for. It's just, we need help. Go get it. And don't worry about the other stuff.
Right, because the other thing is, there's a piece of, it's peace of mind. So if you straighten out what you think is wrong, then there's a peace of mind, a calmness eventually that I think you'll be able to grab onto. Am I right?
Oh, you'd be amazed. People, that's the one thing people say to me over and over and over. They come out saying this is such a relief to finally know what's going to happen, because there's so many questions and so much uncertainty about this. Look, go in, find out what your circumstances are. Do it before you retire. Give yourself some time to have sort of a soft landing, and work with someone who has done this many, many times for other people. Don't rely on Uncle Henry or the barber. It's just not a good way to go.
Yeah, absolutely not. Great advice. Stephen Kelly, Free Money Guy. Go to freemoneyguys.com. And what's that number?
844-4-FREE-MO. 844-4-FREE-MO. Everybody that calls gets a copy of my book.
Awesome. Stephen Kelly, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Kate.
Did you go to guns80.com and get your AR-15 yet? I took my buddy Mark out to lunch the other day to thank him for turning me on to guns80.com, and suddenly our old pal Dan showed up and joined us. Of course, Mark immediately started selling him on the great deals at guns80.com and told him how you can buy a brand new rifle at a great price, keep your privacy, and how it can be delivered right to your front door, and that there was no visit to a gun dealer involved, there are no government papers to fill out. Dan was such an easy sell. He just pulled out his iPhone right there and went to guns80.com and ordered his Ghost AR. Wow. You can call guns80.com right now. Their number is 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. By the way, demand they pay market commission, okay? Call guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80 and demand they pay Mark, please. He deserves a commission. Go to 844-2-GUNS-80 and get your Ghost AR-15 on the web at guns80.com. Go now.